Today we have the privilege of studying Divrei HaYamim, Aleph, Perek Gimel, the third chapter of First Chronicles. This chapter is a genealogy of the family of David HaMelech. It begins by listing all the sons of David HaMelech. These records can be found in Shmuel Bet, and they're copied over here, the same list of sons. The firstborn is Amnon. The second son, who in Shmuel Bet is called Kaluv, here he's called Daniel. The third son is Avshalom, whom we know about. The fourth son is Adoniyahu, who also leads a revolt against the kingdom in the very first chapter of Melachim Aleph. And then the two additional sons, Shvatia and Yitra'am. These are the six oldest sons of David. And then a longer list of the sons of David who are born in Yerushalayim follows. And Shlomo, of course, is among the latter group. Now, the next part of the chapter, from Pasuk Yud and following, lists the Davidic line from David through Shlomo, then Rechavaam, Aviyah, Asa, Yehoshaphat, Yoram, Achaziah, Yoash, Amatziah, Azariah, Yotam, Achaz, Chizkiah, Menashe, Amon, Yoshiyahu. What's interesting about this list is that it effectively ends with Yoshiyahu. The direct descent of father to son, father to son, father to son, ignoring all the other branches of the royal family, ends with Yoshiyahu. And so when we get to Yoshiyahu, that we begin to look at larger parts of the royal family. At the point where we reach Yoshiyahu, the Sukkim list all the descendants of Yoshiyahu, and not just those who rose to the throne. Now this is significant because it suggests that effectively the last legitimate, effective king of Yehuda is Yoshiyahu. And if we look carefully at the Sukkim and the Melachim, we find that that is indeed the case, that Yoshiyahu was the last king to be independently appointed by the Jewish people without foreign intervention. The subsequent kings who are his descendants are all appointed, almost without exception, by either Pharaoh of Egypt or the king of Babel. And so Yoshiyahu's death marks the diffusion of power, or diffusion of dynasty. All his sons are legitimate rulers, all his sons are potentially legitimate rulers at least. None of them are successful rulers in the time of Bayit Rishon. And sort of the floor is open for any of them to come to the throne. And the Psukim here carefully suggest that there is no longer a preferred king after Yoshiyahu. After Yoshiyahu, the throne of David is effectively open to any descendant of Yoshiyahu. And that's significant because Divrei HaYamim has to deal with the kingship of the Davidic line in a complex way. On the one hand, it highlights the importance of David and Malchut Shlomo. David and Shlomo are portrayed as idealized rulers. They do very important things for Am Yisrael. David is credited with organizing the singing of the Levi'im, which is an extremely important part of Divrei HaYamim. They represent the period, the idealized golden age of Israel, to which Divrei HaYamim seeks to return. So David and Shlomo are the center of Divrei HaYamim. They are the foundational period of Israel, and in a certain sense, they occupy the position that Ma'amad Har Sinai does in Torah. They are the focal point of all of Divrei HaYamim's attention, David and Shlomo. On the other hand, there's a recognition that David and Shlomo are dead, and that the future lies in the hands of a more diffuse power organization. That in the time of Bayit Sheni, there isn't necessarily going to be a Jewish king with the same level of authority as David and Shlomo, because Jews are living under the authority of the Persian kingdom. And so what the Divrei HaYamim seems to be describing here is something complex and interesting. The authority of David and Shlomo, the potential legitimacy of the Davidic monarchy, now rests in a much wider group of people. All those mentioned in Divrei HaYamim Aleph Perek Gimel, from Pasuk Yudalid through the end of the chapter. All these people are described as potential as descendants of Yoshiyahu, and any of them could potentially be the next ruler of Yehuda. In fact, we have records of only one of these people becoming the ruler, and that's Zerubbabel. And there's a certain question of whether the Zerubbabel that we know of from Book of Ezra and from Haggai and from Zechariah is the Zerubbabel who's mentioned here, because the Zerubbabel there, in Zerubbabel in Ezra and in Haggai Zechariah, is Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel. And here we don't have any specific, here in Devarei Yamim Aleph Perek Gimel, we have no specific mention of Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, we have just mention of a Zerubbabel. So it would appear that the Zerubbabel here, nevertheless, is that Zerubbabel. But there is a wide range of brothers, cousins, relatives of Zerubbabel, all descendants of Yoshiyahu, who could potentially occupy the role of ruler of Yehuda, should the Jews in Bayit Sheni be able to appoint their own ruler.